We laugh, but there's some truth to that. Getting ourselves in and out of trouble. The truth is we don't really ever get ourselves out of trouble. God is the one that delivers us, and then somehow we have the tendency to run right back into it. Oh, boy. So we're going to take a look at sheep and shepherds today. It's pretty clear, deep down, we know that we need guidance in life, right? If you look around at the culture and all the different ways people seek guidance, how many times in this past week have you asked somebody their opinion on something? What do you think about this? What should I do? You know, everything from like what to wear or what to eat or what to buy or what to think. I don't know, you know, maybe how to handle some relationship challenge, whatever it might have been. What did you seek guidance about? People seek guidance from all different kinds of sources. Some of them are not the most positive sources. People seek guidance from horoscopes, psychics. And then there are perhaps more positive ones, like parents, friends, or pastors. Someone that you trust in your life that is wise and maybe an expert in the field of whatever question it is you're asking. But, you know, we are always looking for guidance. And as we think about how the shepherd, the good shepherd, guides us, we want to take kind of a closer look today a little bit at shepherds and at sheep. And shepherds and sheep were far more common in the day when Jesus was walking around than they are in our culture now. Although, if you walk through the woods now, you're going to find old stone walls with trees growing up all around them that hearken to a day when land was 85% cleared in Vermont and it was mostly sheep farm. And so, you know, we did have shepherds around here, and we just don't have as many of them now. So in the Bible, we are compared to sheep. How does that make you feel after watching that? David, the psalmist, right? A shepherd himself, said in Psalm 100 that we are God's people and the sheep of his pasture. And then in Psalm 23, also a psalm of David, we just looked at that today, it has the comparison saying that the Lord is my shepherd. He was grabbing common imagery, something that was understood in the day, to help describe the relationship between God and the people who trust him. And so all throughout Scripture, Old Testament and New Testament, you see this parallel drawn between mankind and sheep. One of my favorites is in Isaiah chapter 40. It says that God tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that are with young. And there's just beautiful scriptures about the Lord taking care of us, like a shepherd taking care of sheep. We could go on and look at all these scriptures, but we're going to take a little bit of a closer look at John chapter 10 today. So, no offense to anybody that owns sheep or has owned sheep or loves sheep. There are people here that know a lot more about raising sheep than I do. You've been able to keep them alive longer than I was ever able to. The ones that I had, anyways, were really stubborn. Didn't seem to matter how I tried to lead them or guide them or direct them. They were going to do their own thing, even if that meant repeatedly running into the same corner of the fence instead of taking a left turn to figure it out. They didn't seem terribly intelligent, at least mine. Have you ever seen trained sheep in a circus? No, right? How about doing sheep agility trials on Animal Planet? Yeah, probably not, right? sheep are kind of, at least the ones I've seen, are kind of dirty and wayward. There was an article about a sheep that had been lost in the wilderness for a very long time and hadn't been shorn in forever, and you could barely see his little head poking out of the giant fleece all around him, and it wasn't the cleanest looking thing either. It's hard for them to keep themselves clean. They've got quite a smell. They wander off easily. They don't see very well. I read somewhere they see about 15 yards. And no matter how often you bring them back, they keep wandering off, jumping back into the ditch, right? Sheep are fairly defenseless too, right? No real defensive weapons on those things. It's like they were made to be eaten. They don't really bite. They don't have claws, horns, or fangs. They don't have the ability to spray you like a skunk. Anything like that. So when they're being chased by a predator, you know, you just don't want to be the slowest sheep. They are also pretty easily frightened and confused. Someone said that it doesn't take much to scramble the simple mental yoke of a nervous sheep. And they'll run off a cliff if everyone else is doing it. So, should we be offended that God is comparing us to sheep? Maybe a little. No, yeah. Skip's taking offense. No. God doesn't do it to put us down. He's making this comparison so often because God is communicating a really important truth to us, that he wants us to know that we need to be guided in this life. We need a shepherd. We are not meant to do this, you know, fly by the seat of our pants, go in our own direction thing by ourselves. It is absolutely in our created order to be guided and led by our Creator, by Jesus, by the Good Shepherd. So when you read scriptures in Isaiah 53, like where it says, "We like sheep have gone astray, each of us has turned to his own way," or in Mark chapter 9, where it says, "Jesus saw the crowds and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd," he was generating a serious mind picture for people. Sheep without a shepherd, man, what is that like? They're scattered everywhere, they're stuck in farms, they're half eaten by bears, they're a mess, they don't know where they're going, they might starve because they're not going to find the food. You know, it's a wreck. They need to have a shepherd. So how about a shepherd? What's your image of shepherds? Little kids at Christmas time, wearing something on their head and a robe, standing out by the road, right? No. We have this sort of stereotypical idea, you know, of a shepherd. But at the time of Christ, shepherds were the outcasts. They were despised. They were treated poorly. They were the bottom rung of society. A shepherd was considered unclean, and anyone who came into contact with them would also be considered ceremonially unclean. Shepherds' word was good for nothing. They were not allowed to testify in any kind of court. And so, isn't it amazing that God chose shepherds to be the ones to show up at the birth of Jesus? God chose the bottom rung of society, the outcasts, the ones no one wanted to associate with. They got to see the glory of the angels announcing the birth of Jesus. What a beautiful thing. So when Christ came along and said, "I'm the good shepherd," it's important for us to realize it was pretty scandalous for Jesus to say that. "I am identifying with the bottom rung of the scum of society in your eyes. The ones that if you go and visit them and touch them, you're going to be unclean." He was sending a serious message about who he had come to, why he had come, and kind of, you know, turning on its ear the establishment. Jesus speaks specifically in John 10 of himself as the good shepherd laying down his life for the sheep. So we want to take a little bit of a closer look at some of these things. We're going to be looking at Psalm 23 and John 10 side by side and go back and forth between them. If you want to have your Bibles open, I encourage you to open up to those two passages, or if you have a program, you can turn there to the scriptures. But in the beginning of Psalm 23, there's something really important to notice. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures and leads me beside still waters. He revives my soul and guides me along right pathways for his name's sake." The shepherd is doing everything. The shepherd is the one that's leading. The sheep is not responsible to figure it out on their own in that respect. Sheep left to their own devices are going to head off in the wrong direction no matter what they do. The shepherd is leading and guiding. He's providing the needs of life. He's leading to pastures and still waters. He's restoring the soul. He's leading in the path of righteousness. The role of the sheep is to listen and follow. It's to obey. It's to follow. The first three verses speak of what the shepherd is doing for the person that has a close relationship with the shepherd. It doesn't say the Lord is the shepherd, this distant statement. It's the Lord is my shepherd. There are other shepherds out there that are leading in the wrong direction. There are hired hands out there that don't care about the sheep. We're going to get to those in a minute. But the Lord is my shepherd. The last three verses of the 23rd Psalm show this protective concern that the shepherd has for the sheep, that the Lord has for us. Even though walking through the valley of death, the psalmist does not fear because the shepherd is with him and brings him through that valley of death to a banqueting table that the shepherd has prepared. It's a profound and beautiful thing. I know we roll the 23rd Psalm off of our tongues awfully fast, but it's good to take a closer look sometimes. The shepherd has prepared a table in the presence of the enemies of the sheep. And this table provides the means of anointing and blessing all the days of the sheep's life. And when that life ends, it is in the house of the Lord that the psalmist will dwell. So the Lord is protecting us, preparing a table of anointing and blessing before us in the presence of our enemies. And when this life is over, we are in the house of the Lord with him, with the shepherd, forever. It's profound and beautiful and a wonderful promise that can carry us through all kinds of really serious challenges in life. In John chapter 10, it says, "The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." Jesus prepares that table for us in the presence of our enemies by laying down his life for us. Who's our enemies? Sin and death. They're the enemies. That's what's leading us. Right? Sin and death. Christ lays down his life. Prepares that table, lays down his life in the presence of our enemies, of sin and death, right in its face. He's speaking about laying down his life for the sheep, going to the cross. Three times Jesus says this in this passage of Scripture. He wants us to understand that his death is not a victory for his enemies. His death is a voluntary sacrifice. He is laying it down. He is willingly doing it. It's not a suicide. It's an act of obedience to the divine will of the Father. It's an expression of the love that Jesus has for you. Now, if we dig a little bit deeper, the word that John uses here for life is the word for psyche, and that elsewhere gets translated out as soul. And it is a word that isn't just talking about my heart beating and my blood in my veins. Okay, what Jesus is laying down when he lays down his life for the sheep, it is the totality of life. The physical, the mental, the emotional, the spiritual. Jesus laid down everything for us. It's this eternal nature of life that Jesus laid down. And he voluntarily lays it down for all of us. He sacrifices his total self. It wasn't just that, oh, well, you know, Jesus' physical body can die because, you know, spiritually he's He's fine. He descended to the dead so we wouldn't have to. That is dedication. That is love. That is a shepherd laying it all down for his sheep. So how about this hireling? The hireling is kind of a mercenary. He doesn't really know the sheep. Doesn't really care that much. He's just kind of getting paid. You know the expression, phoning it in? They're just phoning it in. Not really invested. They're not the hireling's sheep. The hireling is not going to defend those sheep with their life. At this first sign of trouble, when that wolf comes, the hireling is gone, abandoning the sheep, taking off. And the difference between the hireling and the shepherd, one difference among a few, is that the shepherd knows those sheep. You know the chickens have different personalities? I've had some cranky chickens. You wouldn't believe that in a brain that big, there's different personalities. But there are. And you can get to know them. Sheep, shepherd knows them individually, knows them by name. And to know is more than just head knowledge. It's a personal, deep relationship that Jesus has with his sheep. And the sheep know the shepherd. The sheep know the voice of the shepherd. The sheep are owned by the shepherd, and they are loved individually by that shepherd. And that is the main difference between the shepherd and the hireling. The shepherd knows them and loves them and is willing to lay everything down for them. Further in the scripture, it says Jesus is talking about other sheep that he has. You know, what is that talking about? I one time had someone explain to me that that's aliens. And I can't go there. But Jesus was talking to the people of Israel here, right? He was talking, I believe, about Gentiles. You and I are those other sheep. You and I are those other flock that he was seeking to bring in. You know, this is happening. If you look at it in context, people just watched the healing of the man that was born blind. Okay? And the Pharisees are present, and they excommunicated this guy from the synagogue. And there's sort of this power thing going on, and they're kind of upset with Jesus for what he's done. And Jesus is sent to the sheep, the lost sheep of the house of Israel, but he's also sent for those other sheep, the Gentiles, and we are grafted into that family through Christ. And so you and I are those other sheep. The other sheep are called in the same way that the sheep from within the fold of Israel are called. And they hear and they recognize the voice of the shepherd, and they become part of the one flock guided by the one true shepherd who lays down his life for all. So something else that's important to look really closely at with this is that Jesus speaks with particular emphasis and authority, again, laying down his life, that he has the authority to lay it down. And he has the authority to take it up again. He's laying it down. He's not having something happen that's out of his control. Right? When he was praying in the garden, and they came and arrested him, he could have done something very different than what he did. But he was following his Father's will, and willingly went to the cross. And it speaks of his authority that he was willing to do that because he had the authority to take it up again. So laying it down was going to the cross, and taking it up again that he's speaking about here is the resurrection. So Jesus wants them, and he wants us to understand that the cross is not some accidental thing that happened. It is part of the divine plan. It is part of the plan for the shepherd. It is part of the means of salvation for the sheep. And so the cross was no defeat, and the resurrection was not an afterthought. This was all part of the plan. So when Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd," it is really significant for us to understand that he is the Lamb of God slain to take away the sin of the world. He says three times, "I'm laying down my life." He voluntarily goes to the cross for you and for me, that we might hear his voice and answer his call. He laid down his life so that he could take it up again and defeat death, not for himself, but for us. We also need to remember in Psalm 23 the provision and protection that the Good Shepherd gives to the sheep. In order to know his provision and protection, we've got to be his sheep. We have to be able to say with the psalmist, "Not that the Lord is the shepherd, but that the Lord is my shepherd," before you can go on to experience and to know and to speak of his provision and his protection. It's through his death that we know the forgiveness of sins. It's through the resurrection that we can walk through the valley of the shadow of death and find ourselves on the other side at the banquet table. And so there's really one question that this all boils down to for us today. Is the Lord my shepherd? No one but you can answer that today. He came and he laid down his life for you. He rose again that you might be raised from death to life. Do you know him as your good shepherd? And does he know you as his beloved sheep? That can become a reality in your life if you come to the shepherd who is the doorway to the sheep. In the name of Christ. Amen. Amen.